This is Casino Richardson, and today's date is November 3rd, and it's 11 o'clock a.m., and I'm conducting an interview with Patricia Wright for Quilters SOS, Save Our Stories, a project of the Alliance for American Quilts. Patricia Wright and I are at the International Quilt Festival in Houston, Texas. And Patricia, will you tell me about the quilt you brought today?
I'll be happy to. This was, I started this back in around 2001. The quilt fabrics, I had bought a stack of like 50 10-inch squares, there was more than that, probably 75 10-inch squares of Oriental fabrics at the quilt show 5 years prior, and had this little stack of quilt squares in my sewing room, not knowing what to do with it because they were all so different, and I was thumbing through a magazine, saw an article and a pattern for a New York Beauty quilt. Done the New York and decided that's what I would do with all of these 10-inch squares of fabric. So that's how it began. I knew how I wanted the border of this quilt. I knew I wanted this serpentine border. So I made the border first, which is different. And it took me about, a year and a half, even maybe 2 years, because I was in no hurry. It was just a labor of love. Putting the New York Beauty blocks together was so much fun. I hadn't done a lot of paper piecing prior to that, and all of the points are paper piece, so I just truly enjoyed doing it. I'd do it for a while. We would go to retreat. I'd take it to retreat. I would make it at retreat. Put it up on the board, and everybody would, of course, at retreat, it has an idea of how they want the blocks to go. So I let them. And that's how it started and progressed on. And it was just it's memories of good times. Back when I bought these squares, a friend and I, Sue Floyd, would take a vacation for the quilt show. And even though she lived in Houston and I lived in Texas City or near Galveston, we would spend the few days up here at one of the hotels and go to the show like 3 days in a row so we could take it all in. And that's when I bought that particular batch of quilt squares.
Oh, okay.
So it has very good memories.
Oh, I guess so. And you built this quilt from the outside in,
yes.
Then? You didn't find a pattern in a book and follow that. You just kind of built your own design.
Right.
And that's very interesting. Very interesting.
It was fun to figure it. It went together well. Enjoyed it.
So how many years do you think?
I worked on it probably 2 years. Probably 2 years.
About 2 years off and on?
Right. I love making quilts, but I'm in no hurry to finish them because I know when I finish them, I'm going to start another one. So I enjoy the process so much. You know, I don't hurry to get them done.
Do you work on more than one quilt at a time?
Yes, I do. I've got about three right now. One needing a binding, one needing quilting, another top that needs to be put together. So,
and one in your head that you're getting
exactly.
ready to start.
Exactly.
And how do you use this quilt?
This quilt, because it's a square, I just love it. I don't use this particular one. I don't have it. I don't have the space to hang it. I'd like to be able to hang it, and eventually, if I get a wall space, I will. But right now, it just stays folded on my shelves with my other quilts.
Oh. You don't put it over a quilt rack?
No. We're remodeling, and there's just no way to leave that out with the remodeling process.
Mm. Okay. And what are your plans for the quilt? Are you going to keep it, or are you going to pass it down?
I'll keep it until someone shows a great interest in preserving it. I have three sons and just one daughter-in-law. And I have five grandsons. So it's probably going to be a grandchild's wife that will eventually go to. So,
yeah.
But, you know, I will definitely pass it.
And just decide which one's going to take the better care
that's
of it,
right.
I guess.
That's exactly right.
I know how that is. Tell me how you got interested in quilt making. Did someone in your family quilt, your grandmother or your mother?
Both my grandmother and my mother were quilters, and my first recollection of quilts was sitting under them. They always had a suspended quilt, that they would be working on, and when they weren't working on it, they would wind it up to the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
It was usually over a dining room table, but my first recollection was nothing under the quilt but me, just playing under the quilt. It was just, I think it's a comfort thing, but that's my first recollection. My mother always sewed, and I didn't get the sewing bug until I had children. Started making their shirts and play clothes and things like that, and have always loved quilts, but didn't really start making quilts aside from maybe quilting with my mother and grandmother until about 1980. And a friend of mine, the same lady, Sue Floyd, was interested also, but she hadn't done much to it. So together we started talking it up and started doing our own things, self-taught, and then after I got into it, of course I took classes, and it's progressed from there.
Yeah, so did you have a local quilt shop where you could take classes?
Yes, we did, in Galveston. By the Bay was started in Galveston, and Patricia Stevens, the owner there, was a wonderful teacher. So that's actually was my first quilt class in Galveston at her class.
And in the early 1980s, your first quilt was probably a sampler quilt?
No, it was a full-size quilt.
No, I meant sampler blocks.
No, it was the basket. Just a little basket quilt with an applique handle, and it was a full size, and it had some great little sashing, extra sashing in there. So that was my very first quilt that I started and finished.
Okay. What are your favorite techniques? I know this quilt is foundation paper pieced. What are your favorite techniques? What other techniques have you tried?
Hand applique. Needle turn applique I love. It's a passion. It's, I have a lot of blocks that need to be put together and some wall hangings. I've got enough blocks, I think, now to do a full-size quilt, but I've never put a full-size applique quilt together. But that's going to be step is to gather all my blocks together. They're mostly floors, and put them in a quilt.
Okay. Just add sashing and...
Right.
And,
right. So applique, I would say, is my very favorite. Even though I like it all, I love the process. I love sitting at a machine. I love the paper piecing. It's just... I think because I worked for so many years, and, that was my relaxation time, and I retired and, of course, was able to do it more, but then I went back to work part-time, so now it's back to a relaxation time, so that's what it is for me.
The handwork.
It's not a pressure thing at all.
Yeah. Do you do your own quilting?
I hand quilt. With our church, we do quilts for the public, and our group has dwindled away. We've lost a lot of them, and a lot of them have moved away because it's an older church. And we're not doing any of that now, but I do hand quilt. I machine quilt only when I have to. There's so many wonderful machine quilters, and in our area we have some that are just phenomenal. This one was machine quilted.
It's beautiful.
And so if it's something that I want to keep and put away or to show, I'll have someone else do it. If it's a quilt that I made for the grandkids, it's going to go in and out of the wash and on the floor, then I'll machine quilt it. And so I do a little bit of all that.
So you do your machine quilting on your regular sewing machine. You don't have a long arm.
I don't have one.
Okay.
And I don't ever want one.
You don't have one?
I don't ever want one.
Oh.
Because there's so many people that do it and do it well that I'm going to let them do that.
Tell me about your workspace. Where do you sew at home? Do you have a room?
I do. I have a spare bedroom that is you cannot sleep in because it has all of my, there's no bed in it. And so that's where I have a design wall, and which is, I think if you're a quilter and you have to have a design wall.
Tell me about your design wall. There's so many ways to build one. What is yours like?
Right now what I have is quilt batting. Tack it up, and it just, the quilt batting just holds the squares so well. And if I have a row that's put together that's kind of heavy, I can pin it to the quilt batting, the cotton batting, mm-hmm. and it just has been a wonderful surface for me. I've used flannel, and I like it okay. Insulator board. Mm-hmm. That works nicely, but right now I just have the quilt mat.
Okay, and you have a designated room then for sewing,
yes.
And that's nice. You mentioned that you had gone to several quilt retreats. Tell me
with
about
our guild. Our guild, I belong to two different guilds, the Galveston Island Quilters Guild is the formal name, and also the Mainland Morning Guild. And through the Galveston Guild, they have two retreats a year, and they're one, yes, then that's been going on since the beginning of that guild. I'm not quite sure of the year, but they start off with one retreat a year, like on Saturday and Sunday, and then it went to two retreats a year, and Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, sometimes Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We have a wonderful location near our house. We're just, within 10 minutes of our home, so if we forget something, which is not likely, we can just run back and get it.
Since it is close to your home, though, do you, when you go to these retreats, you stay overnight? Is that right?
And yes, stay overnight. Some of the ladies quilt all night. I'm not an all-night quilter. I'm an early morning. But some of the ladies stay up all night, quilt, and sleep in, and our meals are prepared, and it's just wonderful to be able to not think of anything else but your quilting and sharing with the other quilters.
Well, you've been quilting for approximately 30 years now. Who is your inspiration? Do you have someone that you like to go to for advice or patterns, or do you have a famous quilter that you admire?
Oh, that's a difficult question because I think if you belong to a group, I think you're constantly getting information from those people. The Morning Guild, most of that group are retired older ladies who are really experienced. And if you think you know it all, you don't, because they are so much fun to be around, to learn from them and let them them learn from you. It's amazing how just the interaction with other quilters is where I get my inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know in the 80s we didn't even have rotary cutters, you know, and so what's new and innovative, if that's a word, do you think has impacted quilting in the last 30 years? What?
Oh, like you said, the rotary cutter. And now, of course, the internet, online,
oh, yeah.
There's so much information that you can grab just like that. If I have an idea, for instance, recently I was thinking about, I don't do machine embroidery. I don't do that. And but I saw some bobbin work embroidery that I thought was really fascinating, and it would be something that I would enjoy doing. So I just went to my computer and typed it in, and there it was, all any kind of information you need. And of course, I think originally I got that idea for the bobbin work was maybe a TV show or a magazine. I'm not sure. There's just a lot of information out there.
Uh-huh.
So,
yes.
Really lucky. The rotary cutter changed the face of quilting and, you know, piecing it.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that with groups, they do so much charity work. They give to others that just need, mm-hmm. that are in need, mm-hmm. just because they want, they need covers, they need to be warm.
You mentioned that you were working this morning on the pillowcases.
There's a booth here.
Yes.
Right. And so I had like an hour before our interview, and I said, okay, I'm going to look around, and right over there, just right around the corner, they had the everything's set up. It's just so easy. And I made a couple of pillowcases, and they appreciated it, and I appreciated the having a place to sit and do what I do.
And something to do, yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Do you do other charity work? Baby blankets or...
Right. We do. We have a great, in our morning quilt build, a great lady who gathers us a lot of information as far as the need in our area, and we do baby blankets or baby quilts and pillowcases for children and for the ladies shelter, women's shelter, and for children that are taken from their home and things like that. So we've got a great network of charity work that we do in that particular
Good. And you've already told me about your about machine quilting, how you feel about machine quilting.
I love it. I just want somebody else to do it.
How else do you think quilts can be used other than putting on a band?
Quilt.
Do you?
Every night, summer and winter. I love quilts. I make quilts for my grandchildren, and they love them. It's just, I don't know, it's a connection there. I have quilts that my mother made that I can look and I can find this skirt or a blouse or shirts. I had four brothers, shirts that she made in this quilt. It's just so comforting, so personal.
Mm-hmm.
But like I say, I think I use them for gifts. I do a lot of baby quilts. They have to be redone, you know, have to have more because they wear them out. I do believe in giving them, using them, washing them. You know, I don't think there should be just to be hung on the wall. I think they should be loved.
Yes. Let's see, you've pretty much answered all this. What do you think is the biggest challenge confronting quilt makers today? What do we run up against that we need to work on? That's a hard one, isn't it?
That's a hard one. It's probably the cost of everything.
That's good.
And with this drought that we've had in Texas and the cotton, and everything is, you know, surely going to go up. And the economy is the way it is at this point. It's tough to buy the stuff that you might want.
Mm-hmm.
That filter's usually kind of away. And it may make us use that stash that we've been hanging on to, that we bought because, you know, we had a project in mind, and then another project came along. So, but as far as a challenge, you know, I think quilters forever. When my parents were young, those were challenging times, yet they made the time. It's a necessary thing to keep warm. So I think, as far as quilting goes, I think we are blessed to be able to do our craft and pass it on. So challenges, I don't really see a lot of it.
Okay. You mentioned passing on our craft. Do you teach?
I do. I teach at our local quilt shop. Anyone who wants to learn a new technique that I'm fairly good at, I'll be happy to help them. We have bees that get together and we learn from each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I do teach.
Okay.
I don't teach on a full-time basis, just on a part-time. I still work part-time.
What type of work do you do?
I work at our college, College of the Maine, and I work in the senior adult department. Trips and classes and take trips and take classes. It's a wonderful place to work.
And there's a good outlet for your quilt teaching as well.
And everybody's my age. So I did work at the main campus and I really enjoyed it. But everybody was so young. But at the senior adult program, they're all my age. So that's a really fun.
You mentioned belonging to a couple of guilds and sewing bees. Tell me a little bit more about your guilds. Do you bring speakers in? Do you have workshops?
Yes, both. They will. Originally, there was the Galveston Guild. And when we decided to start a daytime guild, of course, they met in the evening. There's a lot of professional people that live in Galveston, you know, from the medical center and things like that. So a nighttime guild was necessary, I think. But a daytime guild was just a really good thing, I thought. So when we started our daytime guild, we decided to meet on the same day as the Galveston Nighttime Guild, so we can share speakers and things like that. So that's worked out really well. We've had some really wonderful, noted speakers come in. And, of course, a lot of our ladies are really talented. So we have workshops.
Mm-hmm.
And we do it all.
Okay. Now, the quilt you brought today is, would you consider a contemporary quilt?
Yes, I would say that.
Do you also do traditional patchwork?
I do. And in my applique, you know, I love the traditional floral appliques.
Mm-hmm.
I do, I love bright colors. And so, you know, that lends to traditional blocks, I think. Right now, and I like to do mystery things, quilts, and just be surprised at how that comes out. But what was the question?
Oh, do you also do traditional quilts and patterns?
Mostly I do. I see something, I get an idea, and I put it together.
So you might take a pattern and put your own twist to it and originality. That's very good. Let's see. Have you ever participated in a quilt history preservation survey such as this?
No.
This is your first.
And I was really excited that I was invited for this. I knew about it. One of the ladies at our guild had encouraged us to pursue it because I think she did an interview last year. Put in the monster book, the Texas Three Long Star book, and they invited me for this. I thought, yay!
Now, you mentioned your quilt in the Lone Star 3 book. Tell us about that quilt.
Oh, what a fun quilt. It was in our area. You know, we have the Houston Hat Sanctuary. Each county has their own little association, and we live in Galveston County, and the Galveston County Rodeo Association had contacted the quilt guild to see if they would make a quilt for the rodeo. You know, this is an ongoing thing each year, and the Galveston Guild started it. They were the first guild in Galveston County, and they made one, and then when we started the Daytime Guild, you know, we alternate years. So it was our year to make a quilt. And me and two other ladies, Ruth Silliman and Peggy Moe, volunteered to make rodeo quilt. And so we got together and we gathered all of our fabrics that, you know, we thought sounded like rodeo. And we talked about it. And designed it, put it together, and Karen Overton, a local long arm quilter, quilted it for us, and we let them enter it into the quilt portion of the Fast Sexual Rodeo in, I believe it was 06. It was 06 or 07. We had to finish it in December of 06, and it was, so it must have been the 07 rodeo. And we called it Happy Trails because we were looking at it, and there are several depictions of Roy Rogers and Dale Evans in there, and his horse, and it's just it's not a particular pattern; it's an overall theme. And we were looking at it, and the first thing that came in my mind was Happy Trails to You, because whenever I see Roy Rogers, I think of that song, and so we named it Happy Trails. And they entered it into the rodeo quilt competition, and it won Best of Division, which was such an honor for that to, you know, our guild. And the quilt itself, it was, we used it for our raffle quilt that year. And so in December of that same year, at our Christmas party, a name was drawn, and it was mine.
Oh, wow.
What a privilege. What an honor. One of the other ladies that was instrumental in making the quilt, Peggy Poe, her husband, James would come to our guild meetings. And James drew the name, and it was fine. It was just really a shock, and, you know, it was wonderful. So I own the quilt, and Karen Overton, the quilter, contacted me and said they're doing this book on Texas quilts, and I told them about your quilt, and they would like to see it. And so it had to be sent in that day. So I gathered it up, I took it to her house, we boxed it up and shipped it off, and it was accepted, which was really exciting. I'm still in awe. And the book is out now.
Yes.
It's a beautiful book. So
wow.
That's how that quilt came about, and how I happened to find it.
And it's in the book.
Yes, it is.
Is there anything else that that you would like to tell us about yourself or your quilt making that that we haven't covered so far?
Well, I can't think of anything.